On the outside, the city of Rockford seems to be one of those almost perfect places. It has shops that line the busy streets of downtown. It has restaurants with the finest cuisine, or even eateries for those who just want a quick bite. It has sights to see, like the statue that was erected a few years ago of the city's first mayor. And then, up on a hill not too far towards the edge of town, is a home. A beautiful suburban home. 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, a dining room, a chef's kitchen, a lovely living room, and of course, a garden that one could only dream of. The home was built in 1920 by Daphne Jacobs Sr. and her husband, Andre Jacobs. They immigrated from Paris in order to live out the American dream. They also had 2 sons, Andre Jacobs Jr., also known as AJ, and their pride and joy, Louis Jacobs, who also goes by Louis, to those he cares for deeply. The home has been in the family now for generations, and so has the family's winery, a company built off the blood, sweat, and tears of the Jacobs family, and the employees they've always thought of as family. Nowadays, the Jacobs family is made up of Louis, his daughter, Daphne Jr., and Daphne's daughters from her first marriage, Gwendolyn, who everyone calls Gwen, and Jacqueline. Gwen is the youngest daughter of Daphne and Sebastian Dufresne. They adopted her when she was just 4 years old, and Jacqueline is their eldest daughter. By day, Gwen is a high-powered attorney, and round the clock, Jacqueline is a dedicated nurse. And at the end of the day, they have that house on the hill. They have that winery. And they have each other.
A new day has come to the city of Rockford. At the Jacobs family home in the living room, Daphne enters the room and takes a deep breath. She looks around at the beautiful living room that has just been redecorated with a more modern feel, while still keeping a few of those antique touches. As she looks over at the fireplace, she sees an old photograph of her grandparents and her father. She then walks over to the fireplace mantel and picks up the photograph, rubbing her hand over the face of Daphne Jacobs Sr.
Oh, Grandmother. Oh, how I wish you were here to see my return to this town. You always knew I would come back. Hell, that was when I left the first time, all those years ago.
Daphne then puts the photograph on the mantel and picks up another one. This time, it's a photo of her parents.
Oh, Mom. Much like Grandma, oh my gosh, I miss you so darn much. I wish you were here as well. I know the first thing you'd say, however, if you were here to see my return to Rockford. You'd go on and on about how I have once again found myself married to a good-looking man. But unlike Sebastian, I don't see myself falling out of love with this one.
That's good to know.
A slightly startled Daphne turns around as Franklin enters the room. He goes to her and kisses her.
Sorry, didn't mean to startle you.
I wasn't startled. I was just... Well, how long were you standing there exactly?
Long enough to know that I married the right woman. And long enough to know that you feel the same way.
Oh, you bet I do. You know, Frank, I wasn't sure about coming back to this town. It's been almost a year since my mother died, and I'm still haunted by it. especially since she didn't tell us about her inoperable brain tumor until she only had a month left. And then I went off on that trip to Paris in order to see where my grandmother had come from. Then I met you. Oh. And for the first time in quite a long time, gosh, I felt whole again.
I know you did. But I also know that you have been missing your father, your two daughters, and your grandson.
That I have.
I am excited to meet them.
And I'm excited for you to meet them. I mean, I just can't wait until everyone's over here for dinner tonight. This home will feel like a home for the first time in a long time. In truth, that makes me happier than words can say.
Daphne flashes a reassuring smile. At George and Gwen's apartment in the living room, Gwen is staring out of the window looking at the seemingly peaceful skyline of Rockford as she sips her brewed cup of coffee. Meanwhile, her husband, George, enters the room, straightening his necktie.
Thanks for leaving enough coffee in the pot for me. I appreciate it.
Of course. I know that you have to argue in front of that judge you despise. You're going to need all the energy you can get.
It's not that I don't despise Judge Russell.
You don't have to lie in front of me. I know you better than you know yourself, Mr. Kaplan.
I bet you do, Mrs. Kaplan.
Anyway, we should be going soon. You've got to be in front of that judge, and I have to be in front of the partners in order to give my statement about Tony's mental health.
You really think he's losing it?
He's one of the best partners the firm has ever had. But he's also 67.
He's also the man who hired the two of us.
That he is. I'm going to try and fight for him, but I do have to be truthful with the other partners.
Real quick, what time is the dinner at your family's home tonight?
6. We mustn't be late.
Wouldn't dream of it.
At Rockford General Hospital on the 5th floor, Jacqueline is standing at the nurse's station, talking on her cell phone.
Jody, I'm so sorry about my son. I don't know why Devin keeps getting in these fights. I can text his grandmother and she can come pick him up. No, not my mother. It'll be Devin's other grandmother, his father's mother. Look, she's going to have to get off early, but she'll be there in like half an hour. Can you keep my son from punching another kid in the face till then? I appreciate it. Bye.
As soon as Jacqueline hangs up from the call, Marcia walks over to her.
I take it there's trouble brewing at Devon's school.
Oh, Nurse Livingston.
Jacqueline, how many times do I have to tell you that you can call me Marcia, regardless of being at work and me being the head nurse? After all, I am Devon's grandmother, and I assume you need me to go pick him up.
Sorry. I just want to keep things as professional as possible. I mean, you already took such a chance on me all those years ago.
You deserve to be on staff of this hospital then, and you still deserve it now. Jacqueline, even though my son got you pregnant while you both were in high school, and even though he ran away, leaving you to raise my grandson, you still worked your tail off through nursing school. Those who work hard deserve to be rewarded.
I'm glad you see things that way. After all, I also had to work through being a social outcast. And 15 years later, I still am.
You're a good mother, though.
Am I? My mom is back in town, Marcia. I want to go to this family dinner she's having tonight, but I know that in a moment's notice, Devin could act a fool and ruin everything for everyone. His behavior has gotten so bad lately.
Don't worry. Everything will be just fine. By the way, I didn't know your mother had gotten back into town. I thought she wasn't going to be back for at least another week.
Same here. I was surprised to get the call. Anyway, Devin is waiting at the high school. Do you mind?
Oh, Of course not. Will you cover the rest of the patients on the floor?
You bet. Thank you, Marcia.
At the Livingston home in the living room, Mitchell is sitting on the couch with his feet up on the coffee table, talking on his cell phone.
Hey, son. It's about time you call.
Sorry, Dad. Just been so busy lately. Cars are flying off the lot.
I'm happy to hear that, and a tad shocked. I know how difficult things were for you just a month ago.
Yeah, but they're going good now.
Good.
How's Mom?
She's doing okay. I'll let you know that Devin got into a fight at school today. She had to go pick him up, and in order to let Jacqueline have some peace, we're going to keep him here overnight.
I'm sad to hear he's still getting into all those fights.
I think it's because he needs his father, Derek. And I think you know that.
Hey, look, I better be going to potential clients. Just walked in the door. And by the way, in case you have forgotten, I have never even met my son.
It's never too late.
Well, I think it is.
Mitchell becomes saddened as Derek suddenly hangs up from the call. Mitchell slowly sets his phone down next to him on the couch. At Jacob's Winery on the executive floor, as the elevator doors open, Daphne steps off from the elevator, and as the doors close behind her, she struggles to let out a breath. As she looks around the executive floor, she locates the door to the CEO office, which bears her father's name on a nameplate. She then becomes very deep in thought. Daphne has just flashed back to an earlier part of that year. She is standing in her father's office at Jacob's Winery as her father, Louis, hands her a tissue.
Thank you, Father.
Of course. I hate to see you upset, you know that.
I hate to see myself upset. It's just... I can't believe this. Mom is gone. I want to leave. I know the girls are taken care of. I just need a fresh start. But yet, you're holding me back. You're telling me that all of this can be mine?
It can be. And I don't want to hold you back. I want to propel you forward. I'm letting you have this company, dear. I am letting you live out your wildest dreams.
I think there's more to life than our family's wine company, Dad. And I don't mean to insult you. Because I know you and Mom named me after your mother, the woman who built all of this, and the woman who eventually decided to give half of it up, also Mom's family could save it.
Why are you bringing up ancient history? Daphne, I've been very open with you. You know that when this company went through a financial hardship, that your mother's side of the family saved it on the condition that I would marry her. And sure, we hated one another. At first, our marriage was filled with more downs than ups. But then you came along, sweet girl.
You rehashing your history with Mom just now is the reason I brought it up. You see, you changed for Mom. I helped to bring you two together. I need something to bring me back together again. I need something to change me. I just don't want my daughters to stand here one day, long after I'm gone, begging to leave this town. They can see that I need better. Hell, even Sebastian, of all people, knows that I need better.
You've talked to that parasite about this?
Come on. You know he and I still care for one another. We just...
Yes, fell out of love. As you put it.
Exactly. And again, the girls are well taken care of. And it's not like I'll be gone forever. I just need some time.
Where are you going?
Believe it or not, I'm going to Paris. I'm going to see where my namesake came from.
Damn. That is almost better than owning this entire empire.
I knew you'd see things my way.
As Daphne comes out of her thoughts, she looks up. She then begins to walk over to the door.
Daphne?
Hi, Dad.
Welcome home.
Louis and Daphne hug one another.
At the Catlin Powell Stevens Law Firm on the main floor, Gwen is standing in the doorway of George's office as George types rather quickly on his laptop as he sits behind his desk. She then smiles slightly as he looks up.
Oh, please, don't let me stop you.
No worries. I sensed that you were standing there. Come on in.
What did you mean by sense me standing in the doorway?
Your presence is something else. You bring with you a sense of joy and peace everywhere you go.
I don't think anyone has ever described me like that. And I don't think someone will describe me like that ever again.
They might. You're a beautiful soul.
I take it the reason you're laying it on tad thick here is because you won in court?
I did.
Oh, congratulations, babe.
George and Gwen kiss one another.
Thank you. Anyway, don't keep me in suspense. How did the meeting with the partners go?
Things have taken an interesting turn.
Oh? What do you mean?
Well, they booted Tony out.
Oh my goodness. That's heartbreaking.
They just didn't think my statement was all that believable, I guess.
Well, I'm sure you did what you needed to do. I think they already had their minds made up about Tony.
To tell you the truth, I would say you're right about that.
Oh?
Yeah.
What exactly does that mean?
I hope you're bracing yourself for this.
Gwen, what is it?
After Tony left, completely saddened, the partners approached me in the room. Turns out they had a contract drafted up at the ready for me to sign. And I did sign it. I'm officially a partner at this firm. And as of next month, it will be known as Catlin Powell and Dufresne.
Back at the Livingston home in the living room, Marcia and Mitchell sit next to one another on the couch. Marcia takes a deep breath.
By the way, I hope you're planning on cleaning the coffee table. I can tell that you were resting your feet on it once again.
How is it that you can always tell?
That's one secret I'll never let you in on.
I should have known you would say that.
Anyway, I called Jacqueline. I let her know that we're going to be good taking care of her son. And I also let her know that he'll be getting all of his work done.
I'm surprised he didn't get a suspension from school.
I guess they just want to see if he can turn things around. One more chance. Fingers crossed, he'll take it seriously.
He's been acting out for a while now.
And they know why.
Speaking of which, our son called us today, and I filled him in on what Devin did.
Did you also convince him to come home?
He hasn't been home since before that boy was born, and we haven't visited him since 2019.
I know. Wishful thinking. Sometimes I just wonder what life would have been like had we not sent Derek to that boarding school, and had he not opened up that car dealership in a completely different state while he was in his 20s.
Devin would have a father.
Yeah, but he has us. And now he has Daphne too, again.
I heard she was back in town. You think you two will work things out once and for all?
She was my best friend since the first grade. And yet, she could never forgive our son for abandoning her pregnant daughter. And no matter what I do, I think that she'll never forgive me. I just don't see that happening, Mitchell. Not in a million years.
Back at Rockford General Hospital on the fifth floor, Jacqueline is carrying a patient's chart in hand and speeding down the hallway when suddenly... Jacqueline stops for a moment, moves to the side, and retrieves her cell phone from the pocket of her scrubs.
That's odd. Unknown number.
A curious Jacqueline answers the call.
Hello, who is this?
It's me.
Derek?
Yes, Jackie.
I told you to never call me ever again. How did you get my number?
From my father.
Why are you calling me?
Because I heard about what happened to Devin today.
Don't you dare say his name. You lost the right to say his name as soon as you walked out on me.
Can we not do this?
Can you not call me?
I just want you to tell me how he is.
He's fine.
Jacqueline angrily hangs up from the call and then walks off. Back at the Jacobs home in the living room, Franklin re-enters the room having come from the kitchen. He looks around to make sure he's still alone.
Good. I'm glad she's not home yet.
Franklin then retrieves his cell phone from the back pocket of his jeans. He hurriedly dials a number and then puts the phone up to his ear.
I was wondering when you'd call.
Sorry, I've been trying to get settled into this boring-ass town.
Boo-hoo. Where are we at with this plan?
The plan? I just got to the house today. I mean, the plan hasn't even...
I am going to stop you right there, Frank. You need to start delivering results instead of screwing your precious Daphne. You need to get moving on this plan now. If you don't, I'll make sure my love for you runs out. I make myself clear?
Crystal.
Good. Bye now.
This has been the series premiere of Heritage, created by Galen Roberts and KCS Hutchison. Written by KCS Hutchison and Galen Roberts. Executive producers KCS Hutchison and Galen Roberts. Narrated by Elizabeth Von Isser and KCS Hutchison. Sound effects and music provided by Soundstripe and Festalian Studios. This episode starred Karen Knebel as Daphne Jacobs Tanner, Ron Schnitker as Lewis Jacobs, Brett Lawrence as Franklin Tanner, Emmy Morgan as Gwendolyn Dufresne Kaplan, Ashley Stewart as Jacqueline Dufresne, Michael Carr as George Kaplan, Benjamin Bryant as Derek Livingston, Diana Collins as Marcia Livingston, Van Griffin as Mitchell Livingston, and Christina Sullivan as Nerissa Lascaris Tanner. Heritage is recorded remotely via Zoom video communications. Join us again for an all-new episode of Heritage on your favorite podcast streaming platform.